Okay, so has anyone done a fishbowl before? Okay, great. Well, it's a great technique that you can take back to your groups or your citizens in your community. It's really just the way that people have always had conversations in a circle from the beginning of time that we could speak. And I like it because it allows a depth of conversation and a sort of respectful way of speaking. The way it happens is that I think we need another chair in the middle. So there'll be four chairs in the middle, and that they'll be occupied by three people at any one time who are going to be discussing the subject, transition and activism. Thank you, Peter. Obviously, listen respectfully, you know, make sure you're actually in a dialogue and not just, you know, pontificating. And when we are sort of witnesses sitting around the edge, listening, really listening actively to the conversation and reflecting on it. And when we feel that we have something to say, to contribute to the conversation, we get up and sit in the empty chair, at which point somebody from the other three chairs has to leave. And
how do they decide which of the three?
It's spontaneous.
Okay.
And you know when you've been there long enough.
Yes. obviously, it's not okay to just hog the space, you know, and make sure. Equally, if you're tending to be quite a shy person, do try and have the courage to contribute at some point if you can. And because often the people who don't speak very much have the most interesting ideas. If you feel like a sort of your heart racing or something, that's usually a sign that you have something to say, even if you don't know what it is. Sometimes we sit up there and we don't know what we're about to say, and that's fine. And also bear in mind that, as Joanna Macy says, you know, we have to act our age, and the age that we are is the age of all time, since the beginning of time. We are here representing all beings from the past and the future. So we may wish to represent our ancestors, or the children who go before us, or some of the other beings who can't speak. Just a reminder in everything that we do that that's important. So, that's about it. The conversation really is around transition and activism, and some of the questions that I'm really interested in are, you know, is there a role for activism in transition? Is it purely a personal role? Can we bring it to our groups? What do we do when the system isn't responding in a democratic way, when we feel really outraged, and so on and so on and so on? There's lots of things to be said about this. So. Would anybody, any three people, like to start the conversation?
Do we know what conversation we want to start? That's the idea of the group.
It's an ongoing conversation.
All right, fine. I think there's a distinction to be made between activism to prevent something undesirable happening, or to stop something going on, to protest against something that is going in the direction that you don't want it to go, and activism, where you want something positive to happen, but it's not going your way and going fast enough. So things like the Incredible Edible, people in Todmorden have had a vision of lots of food everywhere, or it started like that. That's my understanding. Rather than waiting for a lot of bureaucracy and council and stuff, they went and they did it. And they're giving a lot of positive messages to say, this is a future that we'd like to see happen, and we are starting to make it happen, and who wants to join us?
That reminds me of the idea that it's better to just do something and apologise later if you have to, rather than asking for permission first, and I think that's really important. The community groups, in terms of activism, I really like that principle. of just go and do it, and don't worry too much about whether somebody's going to come and stop you. A lot gets in the way. I find a lot of people assuming that authority is going to come in and stop people. Well, yes, maybe it will, but it's best to just do it anyway.
But you have to think of who you might be hurting with it. I mean, if it's if you're hurting council policy, it's probably not as bad as if you're actually digging up somebody's lawn and you're having a detrimental effect on somebody, on the individual, and infringing on their rights to sort of enjoy life.
I think people engage in activism because they want to see change. And change is always going to be a very sort of a scary thing for some people. Change is always going to inconvenience people. It's always going to disrupt the status quo.
Yes.
And activism is a point that you reach when you come up against the power structures that are in place to maintain the status quo. So if you really want change and you don't have any legitimate channels to go down, your only option that's left is to become an activist.
Is it about the only option? Because I mean, I'm thinking about, because this is the dilemma basically that a lot of groups, and me personally, I feel like I'm feeling. Like if I'm trying to work with a local authority at the moment, on sustainable transport, and they've got all these reasons to develop their sustainable transport policy in a certain way, because the government will only give them money to build roads like this and do projects like that, because the government says it talks to you about economic growth. So I'm in there saying, okay, let's try and make this as sustainable as we can by making the development bus friendly, bike friendly, and that. But I can't even stand the fact that I'm trying to support this whole infrastructure. So that dilemma is, if I go out and start protesting, I'm outside the room and I'm not having anything to do with those discussions about how those millions of pounds get spent across Bristol. If I go out and protest and say no to this road, no to that, no to the other, or I sort of like say, well, I'll find the territory that I can agree with them on sustainability issues and I'll work on those to make sure that as much of that happens as possible, because if I don't, maybe none of it will happen. And that's a dilemma that I really feel personally, and I don't, and I guess stops me, maybe it's other fear and other things that stop me being more of an activist more of the time.
What always I find interesting about transition is this point about, is it more like a party than a protest march? And it seems to me there's two ways you can look at things. You can either focus on what's wrong with the world and what they want to do and why they're wrong and why that's the problem, and go on marches and some petitions and say, you're doing that, that's wrong, you should do this. Or you spend your time on developing your power to do the things that you want to do. And there's a fantastic book I love, there's two of them, How to Change the World Without Taking Power. And the second one's called Crack Capitalism by a guy called John Holloway. And he says, what we do is we spend all our time worrying about what they're doing to us, they disempower us. And what we've got to do is spend our time developing our power to do things. So he looks at things like the Zapatistas or the Picateros in Argentina, or the MST in Occupy Land in Argentina. And the MST don't spend the time marching up and down saying, give the land, they just take the bloody land.
Yeah.
And what I like about transition is that it's about developing our power too. And then I get really pissed off when I read things like the Trapeze Critique of Transition that some people have read, by a guy who I really like, saying that transition doesn't challenge power relations. I think everything you do challenges power relations. The way you're in there, you know, the talks that say what the relations are like. It's not walking outside waving about it. They say they're wrong. It's difficult with some people who come to transition meetings and they'll immediately say, oh, the council should do that, or they'll stop you doing that. And I'll say, no, transition isn't about that. Transition is about what we do. And this is what transition is for. So if transition is not about demonstrating, or, you know, sitting in the road or locking on, I don't mind that. I don't believe that means it's not activism. It just means it's positive activism without our power to. We've got an activism against their control over us. That's what the thing might be.
I like the thing you said about, you know, whether you're in the room, and being in the room allows you to have influence over decisions that are made. It kind of suggests that there's a group of people in a room making decisions that affect your community. And the only way to influence those decisions is to be in the room. But in order to be in the room, you have to be invited in. And the vast majority of the community are not going to be in that room.
So how do you root what you're doing so it still feels authentic in that room? I guess that's it, is a dilemma sometimes for me. But I mean, I would only ever say what I really feel is meaningful in that room. But at the end, I know that it's a dilemma, it's a genuine dilemma. I might achieve more by blowing up motorway bridges than by being in that room saying, put some more cycle lanes in and pedestrianise the centre of the city. But I guess I take a judgment and say, well, if we get away with that motorway bridge, maybe I'll just lie down in the motorway. And generally, sort of lie in bed thinking, maybe I should just not go to that meeting tomorrow. Maybe I should lie down in the middle of the M32. Maybe that would be a more powerful thing to do. It means I won't be going to that meeting tomorrow. Any other meeting subsequently. and sometimes I really don't know actually whether I should just lie down in the motorway, and I kind of hope that somebody does. I can't, I'm too busy, but like, I'll be able to lie down in the motorway.
I think that, sometimes there is need for direct action, but I think that in terms of, and going back to power relations, we've got that. Just reinforce the expressive bed boundary. And I think that one of the good things about transition is that you're kind of partly realizing that everybody, we're all just people, and people who like work within those institutions may be involved in other things as well. And power relations are more diffuse rather than hierarchical a lot of the time. And that if you work in through the existing institutions, you will affect more lasting change rather than reinforcing
boundaries. I think you should.
But I don't think there is that boundary just because someone is an activist or involved in activist tactics. It doesn't mean that they don't work within these other institutions as well. I mean, it's more like a holistic approach. Sometimes
yeah.
chairs occupied. It's fine.
It could be two or one.
Sorry.
Or
one, yeah.
I think, unless, of course, if you're concentrating on what the person is doing between either an activist or a transitioner rather than what actually happens to the person who's doing it. So, for example, I think activism is about telling other people to stop being bad, whereas transition camps are about you and the people around you changing your lifestyles in a way that people follow you. And I've been very involved in activism, and my experience is that activists tend to demand as tasks and fuel by flying very often. They tend to drive cars and eat meat and all these sorts of things, and then going to activism once a year, but they have to try and stop other people flying. Yeah. I'm exaggerating. Transition towns, and one of the reasons I'm here is that I find that that is different with transition towns, because transition towns is surely about you and the lifestyle you lead in your community, and it lends itself to actually a positive lifestyle. The things that transition towns do and things that activists do, for me, are less important. It's actually about the people that are doing it. And as the transition town movement spreads, more and more people stop demanding the things like task and fuel, and that is my hope, not actually.
I'm an activist, but that doesn't always mean that I take direct action. There is a distinction between the two. I can take direct action if that's what I choose to do. And I can just be an activist by being a member of a transition group. There needs to be a distinction. I mean, I don't think within the transition town movement there needs to be a direct action happening. You know, it's not that, and there are people doing that. You know, and there's some people wearing both hats. And so the debate about activism, you know, if you're a transition member, if you're an activist, that's it, you're taking control of your future, yourself and others. So defining, you know, activism as being crunched up around that's what group is, you know, outside. So you can be an activist and somebody, an activist prepared to take direct action. And the role of, like, I mean, I think it's like the suffragettes and suffragists, you know. Skills that the dock workers doesn't make them unemployed, that doesn't make you
workers came up with a big banner saying, go back to work and stop threatening our work. And over the course of about 2 hours, I managed to convince them that actually moving to a green economy meant more work, and the people I thanked that were prepared to work, it was going to be more work. So we weren't actually threatening their jobs as long as, you know, and we actually won them round, and when we went down, police were there, the workers came up and I shook their hands. So we managed to offer them the idea that actually this was a positive thing at the same time. So it's really very powerful.
This reminds me of an Aesop's fable. The wind and the sun having a competition as to who could get somebody to take their coat off. And then, if you don't know, the wind blew and blew, and the guy just pulled his coat tighter, and then the sun came out and gave it a shine. And he got hotter and hotter, and then he took his coat off. So it's sort of it's a battle, but our weapon is love, and we, I would hope, have a love of the planet, a love of the people, a love of the environment, and all the good things, the connectivity, and we can send out those rays and lead with a positive example. And that's what I like about transition. That's what I would like to see. And I think I'd be interested in other people's views. But my feeling is that is slower, but it's deeper and more effective.
I just asked a question, I'm sure you know what you're saying, but in talking about my local experience in Plymouth, the doctor was going to buy some issue. And like you were saying, that's all the councillors and people within.
And we have people in the power station just down the road.
The problem is, you know, in terms of the Labour Party, it doesn't matter who it is, they support the document because it means jobs. So you're personally in a very difficult situation. You 1 minute you're on a protest or a picket or whatever, and the next minute you're in the council meeting, because often those people bend up and talk to you. They see you as a radical, and then, you know, even though you're making the effort to build bridges towards them, they often withdraw from you because they're pretty on a certain box, because they've seen you take certain actions that they don't agree with.
Yes. But you're still in a democratic situation. It's still possible to build support and to change things in a democratic way. It takes time, and there's a lot of resistance there. I think where there may be a case for direct and destructive action is when it's not possible to change. You don't have a system that allows change. You say, for example, you have a, it shouldn't happen with elected representatives, but you have a council that is very self-serving. Its own interests and its interests of maybe big business.
I can't imagine that.
Or even the national government.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you can't do it through democratic means, then your choice is either to sit back and accept it, or to do it through undemocratic means.
I think that we know that what was set up in terms of democratic means, a two-party system that we get all sorted of three-party, and that you choose between doesn't feel like that's probably most people in this room a real choice. And I think the power of love, or the desire for people to be connected together, and is actually, I agree completely, is where the basis of all sustainable activism could be rooted. Really wants to last and have effect.
Yeah, where's the place that your inspiration comes from?
There's a flip side of it as well to me, is that I don't know if anybody reads Derek Jensen in this room, but he did a great piece that got circulated around here. He's an American writer about activism, and he talks about, well, he draws the parallel with the Star Wars story about if we think we can
get Darth Vader on side by writing him nice letters appealing to his human side. Maybe you have to go for a meeting with him. Maybe we could even, you know, chain ourselves to one of his machines. Death Star is built to destroy planets, that's what it does. And he's drawing that parallel between industrial civilization and, you know, the Star Wars stories. Basically, you've got a system that's set up with this kind of like flow democratic mechanism, but essentially it's there set up to destroy most of the living Earth and turn it into dead stuff and chops and fine. And actually, you have activism, just forget the normal love that we use to build our own system, which is the alternative.
Yeah, it's always got flaws, and even systems are populated by people, and even nasty conglomerate organisations are populated by people, and those people have families and children and think about the future and have their own lives and so on. So those people instead of direct
activism, Darth Vader into agreeing to turn the Death Star into a
he's a fictitious character like some other characters, there's some personification of evil, and real people are not like that. They might be misguided.
Clearly, haven't worked with your local council very much. I've got a particular person in mind.
My contribution to this is to say that we're all thinking short term, and that transition to me is a journey. We're going from here into the future, and we haven't actually got all that long. And it seems to me that we've got to look at where we want to be and how we're going to achieve that goal. And in other words, sort of work out the consequences of whatever action we take before we actually take it. And I think that sometimes, particularly with governments and so on, I mean, they're very short-term, aren't they? They're very, you know, out-of-class, and they're governed by, well, the government is going to pay us X to recycle something or other, you know. But I think from our point of view, we have to look very much more into what it is we actually want to achieve. What sort of foundation do we want for children, our children to build on, and then work out the consequences of whatever action we're going to take. And that's not easy, but I mean, it does actually mean thinking about what we're doing before we do it, thinking long term.
That's quite a challenge. How do you build long term thinking into a government?
Well, it's not government, it's us. I'm not talking about the government. It's us.
Short term vision. I mean, it's, you know, last year, 2010, it published its long term food strategy, but it's Food 2030. Well, we're now 19 years away from that. It's much too short. When it has to go to include things like soil erosion, which will take 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about what action you take. You know, do you write this letter? If you write this letter, what is the consequence of that letter? What do you expect the consequence of that letter to be? And then decide how you're going to write it in order to achieve what it is you want to achieve. Now, that's not easy, because, I mean, not everybody, well, I don't think many people look at it like that.
There's also a distinction to be made, which is a dilemma in democratic society, of what's right for the individual. Might be one thing, but if what's right for lots of individuals is collated together, then it's not right for society, it's not right for everybody. So sort of that's what I mean by having laws, so we don't allow individuals to do what's maximally good for them.
Yeah, I was trying to bring it down to the person. You know, talking about actors. So what are the consequences of your actions? Taking responsibility for the consequences of those actions.
Yes.
That is something that we've got to start practicing before we start telling somebody else that they've got to do it.
I think it's interesting to look at who's the we, because a lot of times people focus just on their immediate group, the whatever. me, it's simple. The story is very, very simple. The way we're living is destroying our future generations' possibility of life. Simple. We have to radically change. It's absolutely possible. I reckon we'll get there. I think it's a great adventure to participate to try to get there. But the we is the global we. It's the family that we all are. The processes we use and the spaces that we have are our creation to try to deepen this dialogue is very important. For example, in Copenhagen on the big COP15, the leaders of the world, our representatives, those they finally agreed that there's a bit of a problem, so it's sorted. They didn't. But in the meantime, there's 100,000 of us, people on the streets, from all over the world, from Latin America especially, where a girlfriend from Peru, for example, they're selling off 70% of the Amazon rainforest with new free trade agreements. So we have to understand, going back to a bit of the Death Star analogy, that there are some really nasty forces that have vested interest in keeping things business as usual. What the response is, I think it is action, but I think it's not transition or activism. They're both in the same boat. It's both people understanding what's going on, taking responsibility for themselves, their life, their actions, and the future. It's the story, what we're telling. That's what I like about transition. It's about telling the story. So eventually when it comes to riot police, as happens a lot of the time, it's trying to communicate that story, because we're all watching where hopefully more and more people are starting to wake up and go, what's going on here?
One of the things that I find interesting is what's the activist's minds when they do what they're doing, or what they think of other people. They think of other people as essentially wrong, and they need to be told, or they need to be shown, or they need to be forced to do something. Are other people seen as passive? Activists are active. So as activists think about communicating a message to other people, you're seen as all I do is receive the message. Or is activism about getting everybody who has many people as you can involved in change? Think of, say, Greenpeace climbing up a chimney, printing a message on it in the news, which is a wonderful thing to do. But it's not done in a clandestine group of people who know each other, who train for it, trust each other. There's lots of separate reasons to do that. But I've sometimes got less time for sort of activism that focuses on that, because it suggests that everybody else needs to be told for no use, and they don't understand no use. Compared with, say, what I first got involved with activism was in the anti-nuclear movement in the 1980s. Hundreds of thousands of people going to marches, hundreds of people surrounding nuke bases and trying to close them down. So for me, there's a big difference between elite activism. We will tell other people what they should do, and then they will understand us and do it. This is beyond. And activism, which is more about we must all do things. And from that, I then prefer the activism, which is about what can we do, rather than what they do that they should stop. So I think that's the big difference that we need to have.
I can agree with what you're saying, but I think it does have a place in that it gets these issues in the media in the first place, and it gets people talking about them, and it means that through that kind of being disseminated, the we can start to act, and that's what you've seen with a lot of, well, like climate camp, for example, raising awareness about some of these issues, like airport expansion, and really getting people to start talking about it and making a difference, getting things stopped. But it's an interesting point that I made before as well about drawing a distinction between direct action and activism. And I think that's one of the roles that direct action has at the moment, just to get these ideas out there. But in an ideal world, it would be much better if it was a collective thing rather than these kind of closed
groups. I suppose I prefer forms of activism, which is people meeting together and talking about issues collectively. Developing our power to do things, meeting up, talking about ideas, and doing it that way. So one of the great things why transition was so powerful in the early days is like the use of DVDs, and use of all the SNS that were out there, and the emails stuck there. So it wasn't Rob going on telly telling everybody big oil problem, it was getting everybody together in groups developing stuff and very, very quickly developing projects. So, I do both, but I think it's more powerful to get groups of people talking about the issues than to slowly and pass upon. I'm not saying don't, make slowly and pass upon them. But things like the attempt to close down Drax Power Station, not Drax Power Station, the power station. I thought it was interesting about this police fire. He's going in there and saying to people, there was an anti-fascist march that they went on. And everyone said, oh, let's go into the town centre and stop fascist marching. And the police fire said, no, don't do that, and slash the tyres of their vans, which is individual elites communicating at people, rather than saying to people that don't let the other powers do things to become stronger, feel powerful, feel the mass, we all move. And so when you see somebody say, no, don't do that, and balaclava, and you beat someone up, that's what I think.
I just want to talk a little bit about the way that activism is used to spread a message. Because I think you're right. I tend to prefer the kind of activism that involves people discussing the issues in a very thoughtful way and actually trying to figure out what it is they want, getting some clear objectives. But that doesn't mean to say that you can't go out and do these kind of high-profile actions that get a lot of publicity, because that is a very effective way of spreading the message that you're trying to spread. I'll use Heathrow as an example because it's one I'm very familiar with. The communities and the villages where Transition Heathrow is based have been campaigning for about 5 or 6 years against the Third Runway. The Third Runway was going to completely demolish their entire community. About 800 houses, churches, cemeteries would have all been bulldozed in time October for the runway. Their campaign was getting nowhere until Climate Camp turned up, and then all of a sudden it was a massive media event and people heard about it, and it went to a judicial review and it got turned down. But the reason why there's a transition group there is because those communities need to be resilient so that they can resist any kind of future attempts to develop that area by the airport, any future attempts to expand the airport. So it comes from a position of being against airport expansion in general, being against the expansion of Heathrow Airport in particular, but being a very positive influence on the community of the villages that we're based in.
I'd sort of like to follow that. It's another camp, Scott, and you can help a nuclear submarine base. I know they want to build an incinerator. So it's a place which I think it's basically the government sees as the dumping ground. And so we've had a long anti-incinerator campaign. And the crucial thing, the reason why it's been, we don't know if we've stopped the incinerator, but we have built a community-based grassroots campaign. What you've got to do is not just do the sort of flying, like people's talking about flying, put up a flag, paint a chimney, and fly out. You've got to do slow, boring, patient work within the community, talk to people who don't always agree with everything you know, for a lot of people in this anti-incinerator group, they're not environmentalists, they're just local people who don't want trucks full of waste, they don't pass their farm school, and they don't really the broader environmental agenda. But through this campaign, what they've realised is they start from the position, we're against the incinerator. It's like, okay, we're with you, we're against the incinerator as well. And so they stop there, just say, stop the incinerator. But then the council says to them, well, what's the alternative? So as a transition group, and there's various different groups in the city, we've been there to then help people give them alternatives so they can say to the council, well, actually what you should do is reduce it waste. Reduce, recycle, not mantra. But they didn't have the skills there at the beginning to say that to the council. The council was just rebuffing it by saying, well, we've got this waste problem, we've got to use landfill, so we deploy it basically. So a role for activism is education and outreach and involvement. And also, you know, talking to people who are already on your agenda, and that's becoming quite boring, but it's very fruitful. Not boring, that was the one word, challenge.
Hang on, I'm exaggerating. Environmental movement has been going more or less for about 40 years now, with direct action and campaigning. And I think the message has been spread. I think everyone knows about climate change now. And however, climate change, the amount and when it's going to occur, has not changed one bit for it matter than environmental movement might have never existed. Practical differences, right? So I think if you continue the same strategy you've been having for the last 40 years of direct action, you're now not going to make any change. Now what I'm talking about is the position telling me it's a unique experiment in doing it in a very positive way and bringing people out of their denial. Allowing them to come out of the denial in a non-embarrassing way to something that is right and happy with direct action and campaigning, you're now doing the same thing that you've always done, attacking people who become defensive and they will not come out of the denial, and they are not coming. So I wouldn't want to taint what I see as a very positive, unique experiment that is spreading with negativity, which will stop people joining you because you're attacking. When if you do a direct action at an airport, you're attacking. The people are flying, they're flying more, not less, and you're attacking them. It's not changing people's minds.
So much to say. There are varying degrees of, sometimes you don't actually choose to do direct action, but it's forced upon you. Yeah, there's, you know, and there is so much going on. You know, Transition Towns is the positive, it's the good news story, you know, and I think Lily, one of our founder actors to Transition Throne, was saying, you know, yeah, we closed down, it's a negative close down in the airport, we closed down the power station. It's kind of boring being pissing people off all the time, you know, we stop them going on our holidays, switching off their lights, blah, blah, blah. It's so nice as an activist to be able to do something positive and say yes instead of saying no all the time. But there is the instance where, you know, something like Rossport, you know, where the pipeline comes in. You know, local people are going up there, they're just standing in the road and getting the shit kicked out by hired thugs. That turns you into a direct activist. Direct action. You don't have the choice. And, you know, people in Spain recently, you know, just going, taking some space to the square. And the authorities said, okay, we need to clean the square, so we've got some trucks here. They beat shit out of people sitting out with batons, you know. That turns you into a direct action. Makes you take direct action and makes you direct access. So there are degrees of this, you know, and transition is such a positive good news thing that people can engage with, you know, on so many levels. And it is the future story. But, you know, putting climbing on top of the roof on shutting down the stats that they're all climbing to the top of the power station, things, the whole gamut of stuff that's gone on. It's also really necessary because we are downhill fast and back up into this shitstorm. And that
like, I can't just sit my house, I've got to meet people.
And one thing I want to say on the meeting, it's interesting, it's like, you know, this girl just did it, just come in. And it's like, oh my God, my mate's up on the big screen in cinemas all around the country. And it's like, it's really kind of doing their heads in. Because it's like, oh, well, you know, and there's been this discussion about this big step, about why to do it in the first place. And then there's a big discussion now about which of the dogs. And it's interesting, so some of the key characters in that film have said, oh, I really hate it, I really hate it. And then having a discussion with them and going, that's not your job. That's climbing to a top of the passage. To life, it's an adrenaline buzz. But we shouldn't be having to do this. It's not nice. You know, activism is a means to to an end, to try to stop something. I think in terms of revolution, you know, it was a Che Guevara thing, like the sound of, you know, the risk of sounding stupid at the heart of every revolution is love. And without that, what item are we fighting for? You know, each other and our families and the things that we appreciate and love in life. So I was thinking in terms of that, in terms of elitism, and small groups go up planning and to shut down an airport in an environment where it's a code black security system because of terrorism. You know, it's good that that happens because it shows governments we can do it if we really want to. And it shows everybody that, you know, if you really want to do it, we can. It's, we're all kind of people. We can shut down everything if we want to. And it's good for governments to know that.
I don't know the word, the movie is probably done and how it, but ¿cómo se dice un desahucio? When you buy a house with a credit, you don't know. But you can pay it, assuming for any reason. And the bank takes your house and they repossession. Okay. So in Spain, because the economic situation is really bad, there's a lot of people that is losing their own houses. And imagine that they take their own house, and because this house later they're gonna make a subasta. They're gonna try to sell it again, but because the price that they sell it is less. So imagine, it's like if they take your own house, but apart, you have to still pay.
Still out.
So it's like around, it's 350,000 houses that they have already taken. And every day there's one, or two, or three, or five. So there's a lot of people that is just putting together, and they go to the houses, and they say, no, you are not going to take these people out from this house. And this is happening a lot right now in Spain. I mean, this is necessary, in my opinion. And this is something peaceful, but you have to do it too.
Yes.
Definitely, one of the points that we're treating here is that the way of communicating of the transition movement is very peaceful, because it's really inclusive, and this is the new thing. In fact, I guess that most of us would have been involved in the activism, the traditional activism before the transition movement. All this new way of communicating, tries to let apart, you know, like all these more active or So. I understand this, but both things are important, and in a personal way, I really think that I'm a bit emotional even now, because all what has happened in Spain the last month has been very, very strong, and this transition to it. We have been like making assemblies of almost 5,000 people. Imagine what it is. Where maybe, I don't know,
That's what it's about.
You know, and we were deciding about plenty of things by consensus. So much people, it was amazing. We were learning so much about how to facilitate something like that, how to, the commissions, they were growing everywhere. I was in the commission of the garden, for example. So we just make a garden because we wanted to make garden. So in the middle of the city, unfortunately, everyone went out. Many things has happened, and I'm not going to explain too much. But I'm very happy because things are happening all around the world, and we are working in the transition. The transition here is going to be different than the transition there. The transition there is going to be different. Doesn't matter. And just to finish, because I'm speaking too much.
We've got 5 minutes left.
Yeah, okay. I say something that for me in the transition speaks about climate change, about recall, etc. Like the main reasons. No? So, for example, in Spain, the growth movement is very strong. So, always since the beginning, it has been like a sort of small fact, because the degrowth movement speaks about, but come on, the real climate change is a cause of the biggest problem, which is the social kind of life we have. And degrowth also speaks about inequity, which I think is one of the problems of the transition movement, how we could put inside the transition movement is discussion also, you know, because it's very nice if I'm a poor man and you're a fucking rich man, it will share the garden, but still, at the end, there's going to be some problems,
yeah.
No? So this is something that I'm thinking about how it could work.
Fantastic. Can I just interrupt you? I'd like to thank you so much for that.
Oh,
brilliant. Is there anyone else in the room who hasn't spoken here who would like to say anything?
Yes, sir.
I really admire the people who do the direct action stuff, and at the same time, another part of me says, but I need some principle. So I feel very torn about what my attitude to that should be, and I kind of feel Dr. Middle's position, and in terms of the way we do. Push the government, but we don't do things that are direct action. But I think there's a place for all the different things that people are doing and what people feel comfortable with for themselves personally is what they should do. To go away with a placard, I think it's probably going to change that or something. But I do feel comfortable to go and get something in the local paper. Law changed. And then again, having joined this transition group, I can see because I'm meeting people, and there are lots of people who even that much action is just enough. I'm a postcard for the MP in case they are somehow morally contaminated by having engaged with the MP. So there's such a wide range, and it's something we just have to find our own niche.
It's fascinating thinking of the historical similarities to things that happened in the civil rights movement. And I'm not a historian or an expert on this, but I remember reading the story of Rosa Parks. I guess most people might have heard of Rosa Parks. Does anybody not know who Rosa Parks is? Well, she was the lady who famously in America in the back in the civil rights movement in the early 60s,
okay.
She stood up and said, "I won't go to the back of the bus," and she was held up there.
She sat down. She would have
stood up. Not getting up and moving to the back because buses were segregated at the time. I'm going to make a terrible mash of the story, but essentially I think that it really highlights what we've been talking about tonight, because we're talking about, often it's portrayed, and historically, history has treated her as this singular hero. And whilst what she did, no doubt, was very brave at that moment, I think it's really important to remember that Rosa Parks was part of a very organised network of civil rights movements. And so any number of people were doing those things all the time. She happened to be the one that history remembered, but there were hundreds of people doing things, and any other person could have been in that situation. And she had the strength to do that, no doubt, to some degree, because of the love and connectedness and support she got from the groups that she was regularly attending. She didn't just do it off her own bat. She was part of a broad supportive network of people, and I think that's often forgotten, that those two things actually go together.
I just want to hear from Ian and then we'll wrap up.
Susan. I was going to say something very similar. This whole thing kind of boils down to what should the relationship between the transition movement and activists be. I think I've met a lot of people who've got into direct action or who've become activists because they've come from a very sort of dark place. They're very emotional. And it's difficult sometimes to actually get them to reconcile their negative view of the world in general with thinking about the future and thinking about changing things in a positive way. So I would like to see transition groups reaching out, if they know the people who are actually, or who are activists in their community, reaching out and trying to provide them with a place that is nurturing that comes from heart, comes from love, and does provide that positivity that we all need.
place to end. Thank you.
If anybody is interested.
Peter, hang on. We're going to have a finishing process and you can make an announcement there. So, would we like to just talk to each other about our reflections on that for a couple of minutes each? Should we do that? Okay, just turn to your neighbour and spend 2 minutes just saying how you felt about that. 2 minutes, I'll make a signal and then we'll talk around and the other person speaks. Yeah? It's called a 2x2.
Me first. Well, I kind of. I guess this discussion depends on how you're going to transition, you know? So if you define transition as these particular activities, then activism is outside of transition. It's outside of. You can do both. But activism is outside of transition. You can define activism as direct friction, process. You know, so it's how you define activism and how you define transition. It's kind of like a question, a false question. You know, the answer is dependent on how you define the two things. You can say all transition activity is activism, you know, and all activity is transition. You can't say that.
I can answer you. Yeah. I mean, you have to read it normally. But for me, it's clear what transition is. But one thing is that transition movement. Another thing is the transition of the way of life, the transition of our society to another kind of transition. And because all of us, and I'm sure of that, we want to work on this transition of the society. That's why I think the transition movement is a fantastic tool, but also those other things that, well, they have a lot of things to say, you know?
Yeah.
Transition movement is like something very fresh, in the sense that it has 5-6 years. In Spain, maybe less, definitely. But it's something like new, no?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The way of communicating, the way of behaving, the way of. So, in this sense, it's something that fortunately has given force or energy or has inspired many new people.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I think that's what's good of it. It's a way of bringing.
One person is listening.
We've already changed, I think.
So. I mean, change conversation.
I think, yeah. I mean, I've been involved in the trade union movement in England, and it's very difficult to get young people to join a trade union. I mean, I'm an academic, so I'm in the academic trade union here, and even to get young, political, educated people to join the union is really difficult. Because they see the union model as boring, out of date, old fashioned, you know. And so transition is a way of involving them in activism.
Because look, who started the transition movement? People that had a strong background in the activism.
Yeah, yeah.
And they realized that the traditional activism could be boring.
Yeah.
Could be probably not enough inclusive, and well, many other problems. So that's why.
Yeah.
But this doesn't, and that's why we are here. Because many of us, as we have been involved before in other kinds of activism, but we realize that transition is very powerful.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, come on, if they are stealing
houses,
what happened, for example?
Yeah.
Or what happened while I was there, close to the police? What happened if they beat you?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You are not going to make anything, at least out of defense.
I mean, yeah. But what thinks the transition movement about this? What is?
Yeah, I mean, is the transition movement a pacifist or, pacifist organisation? I don't know.
Powerful tool of the hand up. Thank you, everybody. Sorry to interrupt. I'd quite like to just hear what you all thought of the fishbowl as a sort of...
good system.
System, just...
Yeah, it's the first time. Yeah,
you spill in your grease.
Really good.
Yeah. I've tried it before and it's
failed. Yeah.
It's depends on the group that you're doing. Even if you create the same space as possible, so it's like the
same. This can be one of the problems.
And some people you can't get out sometimes.
Yeah.
And you need a hook, I guess. You can a fishing hook.
What I actually thought about in the middle, that the person who'd been in there the longest had to leave. I didn't realize.
There's all sorts of variety variations. There's loads of variations on it. And that actually might be a good way to get people out. Yeah.
But this time it was really good because it was like a real outdoor organization. If you realize, for example, you went out when you wanted, nothing, so that's nice. For me, it was the first time, and I think it works.
That's right, yeah.
Also, I have to say that probably this scale was good, but if it's bigger or smaller, yeah, but if it's too big, definitely doesn't work. Yeah.
Well, I've done it with 8 people.
Or maybe you can make
But it's
two?
Apparently works very well with 50 to 100 people.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the middle, or...?
Outside.
Yeah, but if you want everyone to participate, or almost everyone, I mean, if you are 100 people,
one
or
of
just
the,
like
one of the things I love about it is that these people are representing all of us, so it's not necessary for everybody to speak, that this is the group mind having a conversation. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it myself. And I learnt a lot. I really enjoyed listening to what you're all saying. And it's going to be one of the highlights of the conference. Thank you. And so just before we leave, I want to make some announcements, which are that the dance is now actually at the conference centre and not where it was planned to be. Five Rhythms, if anyone wants to go to that. This is the next part of the programme, which starts at 6:15. 6:15 till 7. There's a herb walk, there's some sport, and there's some art in the main area. And, Peter?
Yeah, if anybody's interested in the activism place, I've just written an academic paper on this that's just been accepted for publication, which if anybody wants a copy of it and to comment on it, it goes through a lot of debates we've had today, particularly about transition and drags and everything like that. I'd really love your comments on it, I think. People in this room know a lot. So if you just send me an email, I'll send you a copy of it. You just Google me, Peter Milford.
Has it been submitted yet?
It's been accepted, yes. It's under. It should be there. It's been reviewed and accepted. It will be published literally any week now. But I'm quite happy to send people an early copy of it, because once it's published, if you don't have access to a university library, it might be difficult to find one. So I can send it. So just being off at Liverpool University would be fun.
It would be nice to somehow capture some of what went on today. I don't know if your recording will work.
Yeah, normally it's pretty good.
Yeah,
so
maybe you could get it to the media team. It would be lovely if
I haven't got a laptop with me at the moment, but it does just plug in, it's USB.
Yeah.
So.
Do you know where they are, Ed and all that?
Are you one of them, I think?
Yeah. And if anyone else has any ideas of how we can do this, I'd love to maybe interview a couple of people, get a little video going.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Just because
this is interesting.
Times that we're living in. Just to think about some place to find ourselves.
Yeah, he lives in Barcelona, so we are both.
Okay.
Because of the level of how bad things are getting, that was the comment from Greece 2 years ago. Europe rising up and revolution is not direct action. It doesn't have to be violent. I think that's a really important thing to stress on the passage that Thomas had in the last week's principles in front of the right place to explain why we're here in whatever situation it is, as best you can. And from the Spanish Revolution, last few weeks has been through that. It's just beautiful. It's so profound. But it's not limited to Spain. It's growing.
No, it's growing Greece everywhere. There were like 600 camps around the world. So.
There were 650 points around the planet in the first week that identified who could support or had been inspired to set things off. I came on to Ireland in a few days to connect with Dublin anyway, but Dublin, Galway, Cork and Limerick. But little by little, there's only a few people, you know. But I think it's a great opportunity because what we're seeing in Barcelona, you know, communities are just really organized because the spark has happened. And it's a great time to plug in and connect and learn so much and do so much and change so much in these little moments that pop up. So if there's things in England which there are, like there's the probably Democracy Real, yeah, Londres or London, check out what's going on because it's something really important to plug in with.
It could be possible if finally, I don't know if you, well, all this information, if somebody is going to take notes or, I don't know, to send it to...
Think, will it be put up on the Transition Network website, all this stuff? Yeah.
Any offers to do this? Anyone offering to do this? Well, we just talk to each other and figure out something. Yes. Cool, great, thanks everyone.